Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that was weakened by a sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put death to the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, speak to us today that we go from this place different. Fill us with your spirit. Come, we pray. Amen. It really is great to be here. And I was great to choose this scripture to start with. It is my favourite scripture. Actually, don't worry all that. There's so much in there. I'm actually concentrating on 14 to 17. Can we put 14 to 17 up there somehow? 14 and then go on. I'm actually going to concentrate on three particular verses. It is my favourite scripture. It's kind of my life, you know. It is the scripture I go to remind myself where I am in Christ, to really get myself grounded in God and what's going on there. It's very much about adoption, belonging, and identity. And I really believe that if we don't have our identity right, everything else is kind of wrong. You know, everything else we look at is wrong. If we don't know who we are, then we have an issue, don't we? I particularly love this scripture because I actually did it for my degree dissertation on those three verses, 10,000 words, can you imagine? Don't worry, I'm not going to do 10,000 words today, so you haven't got to see all day. Although I have realised that actually you either serve me the 7 minutes or sort of half an hour. I could have gone for the 7-minute sermon, which, you know, I haven't, but, you know, never mind. I think that it's just great here to be here actually preaching God's word to you. And actually, those particular verses, I think, are key to who we are in Christ, to our understanding of mission, to our understanding of how we will go on from here and live our lives. I could have actually written much more than 10,000 words, to be honest, on those three verses when I actually came to do them. I realised that they have the power in those verses to transform life when they are lived out, when they are really lived out the way they should be lived out. So I'm going to concentrate on these. Romans was written by Paul. It's a Pauline text. It was between 55 and 58 AD, for those of you who like those little facts. John Stott refers to Romans as a kind of Christian manifesto. And, you know, get to grips with Romans. It is actually, I think, one of the essential books of the Bible. It kind of puts the meat on the bones, if you like it. It takes us somewhere extra in our walk with God. The purpose very much of Romans was to show assurance of our salvation, to give us assurance of salvation, to say, actually, you know what? This is what it means to be saved, to help us to know that we are actually saved. And it challenges us to live like we are saved, like we know salvation, we know that we are God's people, we know who we are. Therefore, how does that impact how you live? How does that impact how I live? I don't just talk to you in me this, by the way, I talk to myself in this. And verse 14 of Romans starts by us being reminded that we are being led by the Spirit. And it sounds kind of, led by the Spirit, sounds kind of like, yeah, just by the hand off we go. But that's not actually what it means in this context. It's much, much deeper than that. It actually means to be consumed by the Spirit in this particular context, in this particular scripture. Only when the Spirit of Jesus lives in us are we His. In other words, unless you are led by the Spirit, unless the Holy Spirit is in you, unless you are, that is, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, you actually can't know Christ. You are led by the Spirit, and that actually should consume us, take over our lives. That what is it that God wants first in our lives? What is God wants to do with me first in my life? How is He leading me? How is God speaking to me? It's about us being in step with the Spirit. It means seeking His presence in everything and choosing every day to be in tune with the Spirit, to be in tune with what God wants for our lives. That means, of course, the only way we can achieve that is if we spend time developing our relationship with Jesus. If we spend time with Him. So important. I'm really big into presence. Having the presence of God in our lives means we have to spend time in His presence. It means centering ourselves on Him, on Jesus, centering ourselves on to live His life that He's got for us. It's an amazing life that God's got for us, isn't it? Amazing life, centering ourselves on Jesus, taking time to hear Him. What is God saying to you today? What is God saying to you? Are you spending enough time in His presence being? Do you know what? Your life will be out of kilter if you don't. That's true, if you're not spending time listening to Him. God wants to speak to our very being through His Holy Spirit. So it's not being led in the kind of led way. It's being led because actually I know what God wants, therefore I'm going. Because I spend time with Him. Because I know that Jesus. I know my Jesus. I know what He wants. I'm going to go there. His Spirit is in me. Living in me. I know it. We see it being led by the Spirit lived out in the life of the disciples as well, don't we? Some of my favourite scriptures, I have loads of favourite scriptures actually. This is my favourite, but I have loads of my goals. Oh, you get that, used to that. I was going, this is my favourite scripture, but actually they all are. Will be where it says things like, the Spirit said to them, go or do something, and they just did it. Because what actually that says to me is just how in tune they were with God. They knew about spending time in the presence of God. They knew that God wanted to talk to their hearts. They heard Him. They understood the shepherd's voice. They heard the shepherd's voice and they responded. And unless we take our relationship seriously with Jesus, unless we spend that time sitting in His presence, listening to the small voice, how can we know where to go with Him? But they spent time. They knew the Spirit. They knew what God was saying. Being led is to be one mind with Christ. It says in Galatians, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Isn't that wonderful? God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. So we could know Him. So we could be like Him. So we could do kingdom work. So that we're not burdened. We lay our burdens down and we actually give them to Christ and we live the life He has called for us, a life in abundance. And then we have this wonderful picture of adoption. In a way, again, this is a way of helping us understand the depth of relationship that we can obtain with the Father. Adoption, as we refer to here in Romans, is in keeping with the Roman understanding that Paul would have had of adoption. It's a particular understanding here of adoption. And it's actually a shifting of power. Shifting of power. Adoption meant that the natural father was no longer the father at all in any single way. No longer existed as far as they're concerned. That the new father, the one that became new father, was completely the father. As if the other had never existed. It's a change of identity, if you like, and belonging. There was actually a very elaborate procedure to pass the possession, say, of the child over from one father to another, quite elaborate kind of sort of procedure. The first stage consisted of a symbolic sale, if you like, using copper and scales. And that would happen twice. And the natural father, the one that was actually the father at that point, would actually buy back the child being adopted twice. And then on the third time, he wouldn't buy him back. And there was then a ceremony. And then here, the father who was adopting the child, hope this is clear, would go to the magistrates and present a legal case for the transfer of the child from one father to another. So it's quite an elaborate procedure. It wasn't just they handed over the child. There was much more to it than that. You know, there's a procedure that happened of transferring that power from one father to the other, and they very much the father was, you know, the power in the family. Only then, once that procedure had been done, was the adoption complete. Now, I was thinking about that, and I thought, actually, in line with Jesus, when you think about all that Jesus did for us, this, you think of the procedure he went through in order to own us, to know us, to love us, to have us as his own, and then how Jesus pleads for us, and he wins us, doesn't he? He won us on the cross through death for resurrection. God won us. He paid the price that we would be his, and we are completely his, completely his. No longer belonging to the evil of this world, our identity, our DNA has actually changed. But the world, of course, as you and I know, tries to keep convincing us, doesn't it, that we are still under the wrong authority. And this is where the living out comes in, doesn't it? We have to live out differently. The world tries to give us a false identity, tries to convince us we still belong to that other world, when we don't actually. We belong to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, completely. Nothing can separate you, me, from God. When we know him in Christ Jesus, we are secure. We can be certain of our salvation. We can be certain that we are his, that we belong to him. That is who we are. That is our identity. The world no longer has power over us when we become Christians. And how do we live that out? How do we live that? Do we live that out? I don't know. You haven't got a clue how you live yet. I'll find out. You'll find out how I live too. But actually, how do we live that out? Do we live it out? I look around me actually in the world today, and one of the things that really disturbs me is the lack of identity so many Christians have in themselves. They've so often not renewed their mind to thinking who they are in Christ. And the church seems to not quite know where it is sometimes. I meant the church generally, not here. But it is complete. And we just have to start living as if God is our Father now. God is our Father, not the world, nothing else. God is our Father. How do you live? Do you live with that mentality? Do you live believing it? Do you believe you are a child of God? We just sang that wonderful new song. Do you live without fear, knowing you are a child of God? As you are, God loves you, died for you. You belong to him. The power the Father had over the child, you see, went from one to the other. The adopted child was as if a natural child. We are as if we are natural children to God. We're not secondary. We're not secondary. We are as if. That's how God sees us. That's how God sees you. You are his child. His child. Belonging fully. Belonging fully, not to the world, but fully to Jesus, to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when you know him. But it means shifting our thinking, renewing the mind, and living differently. And when others try and take us away from that, reminding ourselves, this is my identity. This is who I am. This is not what the world says. So I want to encourage you to really shift your thinking. You are a child of God, no longer a slave to this world. no longer a slave. What does God say about you? He says, doesn't he, you're wonderfully made in Psalm 139, that wonderful psalm I suspect many of us love here, no. And there's more. There's always more with God, isn't it? It's really cool. I love the fact there's always more with God. The thing about being a child of God is that there is more. It goes way beyond anything we can believe in. Because like any child, we inherit. We inherit all the Father has. You and I, we inherit all the Father has. We share the Father's resources. And if we inherit from an earthly father, I don't know about you, but if you inherit from an earthly father, it's limited, isn't it? It's limited inheritance. Once they die, for once it ends, doesn't it? And there's no more inheritance, no more mate, the father can't make any more. Therefore, there's a limit to what we can have. However, our God never dies. Our inheritance is never ending. There is no end to the blessing that God wants to give you. We benefit forever because we are his children, forever and ever. An heir does not only inherit in the future, by the way, they receive blessing in the present. We receive blessing now, in the present. What father does not want to bless their child? And a perfect father, God, of course he wants to bless us in the present and the future, now. We, the family of God, are to be people who look at a much bigger picture. We who are led by the Spirit, are children of God. We have resources that help us to live and change the world that we live in. These resources, by the way, are eternal. They're eternal. The power of the Spirit is available to us and is never ending. The gifts given are continual. We can hear from God. We today can see God healing because he is our Father. We can, each of us, whatever you think, you are a child of God, can be used for his glory. Whatever anyone said to you before, you can be used for his glory to change this community, to change the communities you live in, because he is powerful and we are his. I just want to say, if there's anyone here who doesn't know God and doesn't know that God can transform them, then God desires to know you. God desires that you are adopted into this amazing eternal family. There is space for you. There is always space for you. Jesus came to earth. He died. He also rose again. It was God coming to show us the way, to give us a choice, to conquer death so that we could be his children forever. We have choice. We choose whether we're part of his family or not. But you know what? The amazing thing about our God is he always chooses us. He did that on the cross. So know, whatever you feel about yourself, God the Father chose you. And we just have to accept the invitation. The most powerful, the most amazing relationship you will ever have is the one that you have with Jesus, because he's alive and real, standing next to you, open his arms wide to you, saying, welcome, be part of the eternal family today, now. Now. And if you already know Christ, if you're already there, if you're already saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, will you walk fully in that way of the Spirit, being led in the presence of God, cultivating that relationship, accepting that the inheritance is yours, stepping out for him? There is so much more of the presence of God available to us, so much more than we sometimes accept. So much more that God wants to release you into and release me into and all of us into. And the question is, are we willing to let him? Are we willing to engage with the presence of God to that level where we are led by his Spirit, where we know what God is saying and we say, I will go, I will do, because I know the Father's voice. And if we don't know who we are, if we do not know identity as a child of God, then can I just say, you will not live your life to the full potential. If you do not get your identity right, you will not live a life to the full potential. It goes for the same corporately. If we don't know who we are as church, we will not achieve all that God has for us, all that we could for the kingdom work. If we do not know we are his, if we do not know we are resourced, if we do not know we are co-heirs, we will not achieve what we could for the kingdom. Get our identity right. Get your identity right of who you are in Christ. What has God called us to? What is the purpose as children of God? What is our purpose today? What is our purpose as a church? What is God's vision for here at St. James? Looking forward to finding that out with you. What God wants is more important than what we want. God's agenda, not our agenda. That is being led by the Spirit. Laying down our own agenda, saying, actually, God, what do you want? What is your vision for St. James? What is your vision so we can stretch further? Further than we've ever been. And than we've ever could dream of. How can we reach out into the community wider? Change lives. How can we lead others into the truth? So they can be part of this amazing eternal family, this amazing welcome. Amazing God. We, the church, are here to lead others into his presence, and we are here to lead him, lead others into freedom. That is why we're here. Because we know his presence, and because we are free, and we know who we are in Christ, we will lead others to that place. So today, take that opportunity to once again accept the gift that Jesus died on the cross for you personally. Accept, own it, that you are a child of God. You are a child of God. Free, no longer a slave to this world. That is your identity. That's who you are. Accept the freedom. Accept the abundance of life that Jesus gives you and wants to give you. Change your thinking about yourself if it's not right. Shift your thinking. Accept your identity in him. Reject the identity the world tries to inflict on you. And it will and it does. The world that, isn't it so often true, reminds us of our past and tries to keep us there. You are this, you are that. So many things said that are negative to us. And that isn't the way that Christ sees us. First and foremost, we are his children. Enter the place that Jesus gives you as a child of God, empowered by his Spirit, and allow yourself to be filled with that Holy Spirit, to move forward, to make a difference. Allowing the presence of God to change you, to change me, so we can be all that God wants us to be. To mold us into the best version of ourselves. Imagine that. I wonder what the best version of myself looks like. Because it's continual, isn't it? I mean, to be honest, till the day we meet Jesus Christ, we'll be changing and molded. God will be making us more like him. It's a journey with him. Allowing the Spirit to speak to us. What is God saying? What is his agenda? To use us for his glory. To take time out and allow yourself to have that time in the presence of God to hear his voice. What resources has God given you? What is hidden, I wonder? I can't wait to find out what is hidden. What is there hidden that you have not allowed to come to the surface that God is churning up inside of you? Maybe where others said you can't. Do you know what? God says, with me you can. So I ended up on this stage. When I went for ordination, I had a long car journey. When I said, I can't. And then God gave me the words. He spoke to me very clearly and said, you can't, I can. And I live by that. I can't, actually. He can. And he can when we give our lives to him. Where is God changing your life as you offer your life? Where has God given you all that you need so that you can live in abundance? And what does abundant life mean to you? What is the desires of your heart? Because God is interested in them. So I want us now to just take a moment and let the Spirit really minister to us. So I'm going to ask the band to come up. If you can stand, stand. If you can't, you can't. Let's just stand and just have a time of, just a moment here where I just want to, so I'm going to pray and then we're going to move into some worship. During the worship, the offering will be taken, but I'll say that now because I don't want him to do the ministry time. I just want you perhaps to think for a moment, perhaps that stuff maybe that has just spoken to your heart now. Maybe you need to give yourself to Jesus again. Maybe there's areas of your life you need to give to him. Maybe you need to ask the Spirit to fill you or to release you from false identity where others have put stuff on you. Maybe you don't think you are worth anything. Maybe you've listened to those that have brought you down, a spoken curse over you, not blessing over you. Just going to pray now, Lord, release us now in the name of Jesus from anything that holds us back from knowing who we are in you. Lord, I pray a fresh revelation today in this room by the power of your Spirit to be children of God and what that means. I pray, Lord, where identity is not right, you will just remove that and put a true identity in us, that we see ourselves as children of God. I pray where the devil tries to remind us of the past, Lord, that that is released and we're reminded of the present and the future with Christ. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just fill us now. Pray, Lord, that we are enabled in Christ, that we are renewed. If anyone here needs to be renewed today, they receive that renewing. They embrace a new identity. Lord, we pray for a release of your power in the Spirit to minister, to hear God's voice, to see miracles, to be all that we can be, to make a difference in this community. To show others a way so that we can know freedom. Lord, fill us that we may be a message to the world, that we may show Jesus in all that we are and everything we do, and that our identity is in him, that we are no longer slaves. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way.